Matthew 22. We'll be finishing up with this chapter today and move on to new ground next week. We begin in verse 41 of Matthew chapter 22. It says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The son of David.' He saith unto them, 'How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?' And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." Now keep in mind that Jesus is still in the temple. He has just silenced the Jewish leaders, both Sadducees and Pharisees, by giving them some very wise answers to the three questions that they had asked them. We've already studied those questions that were designed to entrap him. And of course, obviously they didn't. And now they're still assembled. At least the Pharisees are still assembled, as verse 1 says. They're in the temple. And they're likely at this point probably frustrated, maybe a little perplexed by the fact that they can't cause Jesus to stump his toe, so to speak. And so while they're sitting there wondering in their little assembly what to do next, Jesus asks them his own question. Again, verse 42, he says, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." Now, Jesus knew that the Pharisees that he's speaking to here, like all other Jews, were waiting for and anticipating a Messiah, or the Christ, if you will. And for as way back, for hundreds of years, God had promised that there would be an anointed one come on the scene, someone that would be a champion for his people, the Jewish people. So they're anticipating this, and so Jesus asked them this question, this Messiah you're waiting on, this Christ that you're looking for. He asked him, "Whose son is he?" But really, essentially, what that question is who is he coming through? What is the lineage, if you will, that he's coming through? What Jewish line will he come through? And so, for the Pharisees, the answer to that was very, very clear. And they thought the coming Messiah was just going to be a simple, normal man. They knew that, according to Scripture, he would be coming from the tribe of Judah. More specifically, he'd be coming through the lineage of King David. And all of that is true from a human standpoint. That's very true. But though they didn't recognize him as Messiah, Jesus was standing right before them. He is that one. He is that one, and he's right before their eyes. And he is, in fact, of the lineage of David, of course, of the tribe of Judah. But there's more. There's much more to it than that. And the true Messiah is going to be, and was, by the way, more than just a natural man. He was going to be the Son of God. He was going to be a supernatural man. And at this point, Jesus is trying to drive that truth home to them by this question that he's asked them. And so we pick up on verse 43 again. He saith unto them, okay, he asked the question, "Whose son is he?" They said, "He came through David," okay? And so he said, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord hath said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool." So you have to understand, we're going to have to look a little bit deeper in Scripture to understand what's being said there. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the prophet Nathan came to King David, and I didn't have my microphone on, did I? Okay. Did y'all hear anything I said? Just okay, that's good. I don't want to have to start all over. The prophet Nathan came to King David, and he made a promise to David. He said in verse 12, this is 2 Samuel 7, he says, "And when thy days be fulfilled," in other words, when you die, David, "and thou sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom." Now, You have to understand, he's talking to David partially about his coming son, Solomon, okay? He's speaking to him about Solomon in a practical sense, and he, in fact, in the next couple of verses, he tells him that that son will be the one that builds my house, the temple. But then he goes on in verse 16, and he says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever." Okay, so yes, he's telling him that you're going to have a son that's going to build me a temple, but he's also telling him you're going to have someone come through your bowels or your descendant that is going to be the Messiah. He's going to establish the kingdom forever and ever. And how do we know that? Because yes, Solomon came and built the temple, but he didn't establish the kingdom forever and ever, did he? I mean, in fact, the kingdom soon divided, and for many years there was no nation of Israel. So we know that was a prophecy talking about the coming Messiah. So all the way from that point going forward through many of the prophets, there was prophecy after prophecy making reference to the Messiah and declaring that he would be, in fact, a descendant of David. But also along the way with those references, there were some subtle details would be in there that could never be carried out by a natural human being. It had to be something beyond just a human that was going to be born the lineage of David. These are references to the Son of God that would come, the Messiah. So, and then we get over into our New Testament Bibles, and specifically right here in the Gospel of Matthew, time and time again, Jesus was hailed as the Son of David. We saw it in Matthew chapter 9, the two blind men in Galilee, they cried out and said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." Not long after, in chapter 20, two blind men in Jericho. It's funny, the blind men come in twos, I guess. The two blind men in Jericho made the same plea. They said, "Son of David, have mercy upon us." Then you get over in Matthew chapter 12, after Jesus had healed the demon-possessed man that was also blind and dumb. The scripture says, and all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the Son of David?" So it was, in fact, a known thing that the Messiah that was coming was going to come and be a descendant of David, which naturally would make him of the tribe of Judah. But it was this New Testament people calling out to Jesus, calling him Son of David, that really got under the skin of the religious leaders, because they became very indignant, because essentially they're saying, "This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah." And Jesus was not refuting it. He was not renouncing it in any way. And that did not sit well with them. And that's very much why they're upset with him up to this point, and will continue to be upset until they get him hanging upon the cross. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus was not only of the lineage of David, but he was also, in fact, beyond being the Son of David, he was also the Son of God, the Messiah. And he was more than natural man / Messiah. He is supernatural man, Son of God / Messiah. And that's what he's trying to drive home to these religious leaders. He's trying to get them to see by asking this question to them. They've been full of questions for the whole chapter, okay? And each one he had an answer for. Well, he gives them this question, and I want you to notice verse 43. It says, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord is son unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool." Notice verse 43, he says, David in the Spirit. In other words, David, when he said those words, was being led by the Spirit. He was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says what King David said in verse 44. And it is a quote from Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. Word for word quote that psalm that David had written, okay? I want you to notice how our Bibles, and this is kind of hard to understand, but bear with me. Notice verse 44. He's quoting Psalms 110, verse 1, and it's, this is what David said. The Lord said unto my Lord. He uses the word Lord twice. Do you notice, I've got a King James Bible here, and I know that most of you do as well. I know it is in the King James, and I don't, if you may have a different version, it probably doesn't. But notice the first Lord, all caps, L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right? Notice the second Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Now, what's the significance of that? That was the interpreter's way of distinguishing between two different Hebrew words in the original text. The first word being Yahweh, the second word being Adonai. Okay, I'm not trying to be fancy like I'm smart enough to know these things. Just like I said, I read people that are smart. And so the first one being Yahweh is a reference to God the Father, Israel's covenant God, right? They're talking to God the Father. The second one would be a reference to the Messiah, the Son of God. And so King David says, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Father said unto my Lord the Messiah, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. Okay? This is essentially this prophetic psalm, which, by the way, was probably the clearest messianic passage in all of the Old Testament, if you want to read it, Psalms 110. David the writer, being led of the Spirit, as he says in verse 43, is saying, God the Father said unto my Lord the Messiah, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, meaning sit at my right hand until I conquer all that needs to be conquered. And so that being the case, Jesus asks the question again. He goes back in verse 45 and says, if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? The point Jesus is making here is that the title Son of David alone is not sufficient for the Messiah. He is the son of David, yes, technically. If they pulled the DNA and they did the research, yes, he is of the lineage of David. But also, that's just acknowledging his human lineage. The Messiah would be much more. The Messiah that they were looking for was just going to be a man that came from King David. But the true Messiah that was standing right before them was also the Son of God, okay? Otherwise, why would King David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? He wouldn't. So Jesus is trying to get them to realize that their ideal of the Messiah is wrong. And he is to be much more than a man who would be a military conqueror or whatever the other things they anticipated him doing. He is going to be a divine man. And he's going to be more than anything else. He's going to be a spiritual conqueror and accomplish everything God wants to be accomplished spiritually. Okay. So what Jesus doesn't do right now in this setting is he doesn't elaborate any further by saying, by the way, guys, you're looking at him. He didn't do that. He could have, but for over 3 years, he has walked among them, giving them all the evidence in the world that he is the Messiah. And if that's not sunk into them by now, him proclaiming it would probably not do any good. And so he doesn't. All of a sudden, they go silent. Notice verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither dost any man from that day forward ask him any more questions. Jesus is just a few short, in just a few short verses, had given them irrefutable proof that the Messiah would be divine or the Messiah's deity. But they still seem to not get it. And they didn't learn anything from this little exchange, by the way, other than they learned that they're no match. They're, with all their education and all their religious training, they were still no match for this uneducated, seemingly unorthodox, untraditional teacher known by the name of Jesus. they just didn't have anything to offer. They could not, with their three questions, they thought they'd stump him. They couldn't. And then he gets one question, he stumps them all. And they all go silent, enough so that they said, you know what, we're not going to ask any more questions. That's what it says in verse 46 there. And from that day forward, that's the last question. They learned their lesson in that part, okay? But, of course, we know in the days that lie ahead, the very next few days, the arrest and, of course, the ultimate crucifixion and all is going to be taking place. We're not far out from that, okay? All right, let's go ahead and stand. And we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Hope that you will be inviting. Continue to invite. Pick up the phone, text, call. Go by and see somebody. Invite them to church. I know some of you guys are doing it. Be persistent. You'll get them here. I'm doing it every week as well. And I know that ultimately the rewards will be reaped for that. Okay? All right. David, lead us in prayer, please, sir.